Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 685, Borbius.
Buddy, that is pretty spot on.
So, I said Snorbius at one point.
Yes. Snorbius is also a good one.
Also that.
Mabius.
I was so bummed. Oh. So, well, first off, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is Sharia Chavala. Did I get it right? Please say yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, woo! So, I've never been more disappointed in a movie theater for someone sitting next to me. Because I was like, I for the first, like, four trailers, I was in there by myself.
Oh, dang.
And so I was like, oh, I can play on my phone while I watch the movie, guilt-free. And then a sociopath.
In an empty theater.
In an empty theater.
But you can pick your own seat.
Where you can select your own seat, sits right next to me.
No way.
That's crazy.
Right next to
literally.
Me.
Literally.
Like
one seat over.
In between. And then, if that's not enough, another sociopath does the same thing to them. So there's five people in the theater all in the same row.
Where are you in the theater?
In the last row.
That's super. Well, see, somebody was trying to get banged.
This is, when I go to the theater.
Well, she did bring a blanket.
See?
When I go to the theater, I sit in the back right or back left, like aisle seat. So that
way you. Oh, God. See, that would drive me crazy because you're off. Like, I am. Usually, like, middle center.
Well, maybe in the theaters you go to, but the ones that I go to
are so small
that even if you're on the back left, like, the screen's pretty much right in front of you. You're off to the side like a scotch. You know what I mean? So,
right.
But then no one's in the aisle. No one usually would sit right next to you on the end seat like that. So I find
Plus
that
your
one.
Your eyes adapt. It's called persistence of vision.
And
it's not like you have to be really far off to the side for it to really look odd.
So. Yeah. I do it every time, and I at least know that I've got that aisle seat, and I so far, knock on wood, have not had anyone sitting next to me in the second last.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Because I was like, oh, well, at least I'll get a few levels in Best Fiends. And then
the case.
Wow. I should play my phone anyway. Just and then it's like you feel like a jerk if you get up and move.
Nope. I'd be like,
guys, I'm
moving.
I just feel like it's a commentary on who they are.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's not. I mean...
It was someone of a different race, so I felt like I was a racist if I got
see.
Up and moved.
I see your point now.
I was just like,
fair enough. Fair
never mind.
That's really tough.
Yeah,
wow.
I was just like, it just means I don't get to play Best Fiends. Right. I'll live.
And we're going to get a super interesting episode because you paid attention to every detail.
I did.
There's not a lot of details.
Oh, there's... There's things to
Yeah.
So I guess before we dig in, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. And you can also find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers.
Are we in the metaverse?
No.
Oh, this okay.
No. that's too difficult. We're not going to do that. So it's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you'll share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia. Bam! Completely subverts the Brad Hyen rule because we were off last week and she shared that episode. So well done, Librarians.
Wow.
She figured it out. Yes. And it's anything that brings shame and torment to Brad Hyen, I am in favor of.
Well, look, she's so well studied. She's a librarian.
She knows the loopholes. Well read.
She knows how to. Yeah,
she knows the loophole. So, Heather Sachs, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Sherman Powers, Tom Dowdy, Chris Valls, Ralph Tribble, Julianne Jordan, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Josh Rosen, Edward Fairfax, Chris Williams, Cinema Recall, James Install, In Session Film, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast, Ronnie Castle, Mike and Oscar, The Minorities Report, Geek to Me Radio, Binge Movies, Feel and Film, Matt Naglia, Approved for All Audiences, The Manic Pixie Weirdo Podcast, Linda Wright, MN Miller, Megan Kearns, Spoiler Piece Theater, Nostalgia Cast, and of course, me.
No, because you were on the episode.
Because I wasn't on last week.
That's what's also a Patreon.
So it's also kind of like a double punch to Brad Hyen. So that's fun too. Finally, we should remind you we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. For $5 a month, you get bonus episodes like the one we released last week. That was a Patreon episode that we put out because I was on a big fancy cruise.
Ooh, fancy.
With Mickey Dolenz.
I know. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And you help us out and we appreciate it.
A real Mickey cruise.
It was a different Mickey. You're usually on a different Mickey.
Oh, that's
cruise,
true.
Like,
yeah,
right?
Typically on a Disney cruise. So I only go on cruises if I know there will be a Mickey on the boat. So
there's a Burgess Meredith one coming up. That's like a what do you call it? Like
he's been dead
Burgess
for like
Meredith?
12 years.
Yeah, he played Mickey in Rocky.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you were serious. Where I'm like, wait a minute, is he a hologram?
Like a remembrance. Yeah, it's a hologram. But, I mean, but that's what it is. He is a hologram now, just walking around as Mickey. Yeah. Like,
there's one where they just put roofies in all the drinks.
Oh no, that's the Cosby Mickey's. Cruise.
Damn it, Kevin! I stole my joke.
Gotta be quick.
So
I will say I've never checked Spotify, but we're up to 31 reviews on Spotify.
Oh, how awesome! About that?
Yeah, so
well,
there
you
go,
Spotify people.
Yes,
and finally we have a contest.
Ooh,
we haven't done a contest in a while, but we're giving away copies of Death on the Nile. So I have to read the following. Approved on-air and web copy. Oh, wait.
Don't read it all.
I should start later in the run than that. Every passenger has a motive based on Agatha Christie's beloved novel and featuring a dazzling all-star cast. Death on the Nile will keep you guessing all the way to its final shocking conclusion. Unless, of course, you've read the book.
That's true.
And then you probably won't be guessing quite so much. Like this, unless you've read this 80-year-old book.
Yeah.
Then you'll be guessing.
It'll be a big surprise.
Add to the critically acclaimed murder mystery to your collection today and enjoy deleted scenes, behind-the-scene featurettes, and more. Available now on 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and digital. And so somehow we're giving this away. Kevin will explain.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, one of the deleted scenes I heard was Gal Gadot actually filling the Nile with champagne. They show how she did it.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, you have that to look forward to. I think that we'll just do a regular social media type giveaway. So you're listening to this episode. If you found it on social media, Twitter or Facebook, just go to that post and comment what your favorite murder mystery is. And if you didn't find us on those social medias, like and follow those, then comment.
Look at that. Okay. Well, there we go. Okay, now all the house cleaning's out of the way. Let's dig into Morbius.
We've got about 5 minutes left to talk about the movie.
So, Venom.
Yes.
Oh.
The first one.
Both.
Okay.
Are aggressively stupid.
Yes.
And I have to say that this movie was not aggressively stupid.
I would agree with that.
It was stupid in much more subtle ways.
Yes.
Yes. I guess that's a step in the right direction.
It's mind-boggling to me that Sony just cannot get out of the Spider-Man world, right? Yeah. So they make the deal with Disney to let them have Spider-Man in some capacity, in the MCU capacity, right? They make Spider-Man a top tier character again, because he wasn't, honestly. Right. I mean, coming out of the Andrew Garfield movies, he isn't a top tier character.
Right.
Kevin Feige's like, I got you, and brings him back. And then he becomes, in his fifth movie, right? So he's Captain America Civil War, sixth movie, right? Avengers and the two Avengers and then the three Spider-Mans. He becomes top tier again, and he has the highest grossing movie of all time, right? Like, it's crazy, the trajectory of that character. Sony's like, what do we have? Like, what can we do to bring this character in? Okay, Venom, very popular character.
What did we accidentally acquire the rights to?
That's exactly it.
That is Spider-Man adjacent.
I think it's the same as the Universal theme park thing. It's like, God, we got the rights to these characters. We got to use them. Then it's like, do something with them.
But like,
right?
So Venom,
something interesting.
Yeah. The Venom.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, Universal thing, they did get Transformers, and they did use it pretty well, actually.
Yeah. That's true. The Transformers ride is pretty
good. Yeah,
solid.
But it is pretty sweet. But the X-Men characters and stuff, it's like, come on, step it up a little. It's fun and for the kids, but it's like, come on, you could do so much more with these characters. And so,
I don't need a spirit store version of Wolverine walking around.
Right. Like, come on, put some care into it. But I feel like it's like that. It's like, God, we got the rights to them. We clearly have to use them because they're popular, but they misuse them.
Right.
Well, I think Venom makes sense, right? Like, Venom is an insanely popular character.
It does. That's not scraping the bottom of the
barrel. Absolutely not.
Morbius is the one.
But I got to tell you, I think that there's an interesting story with Morbius, but you have to put him in the MCU. Because all of the interesting things about Morbius,
Blade. Right.
And here's the fun fact. There's a deleted scene from 1998's Blade with Morbius in it.
Where the director plays Morbius?
Yeah, he's often the lead female character. Is like, well, who's that guy? And they look over on top of a building, and there's Morbius standing on top of a building, and that was going to lead into something. And then Del Toro came in and did his thing. But
Del Toro wanted to use some of those characters, and they told him no for some. Marvel would not approve him in Blade 2 to put like Morbius and bad Morbius and you know,
it's
so this is bad Morbius.
This is better Morbius.
I guess it's
better Morbius because the other one doesn't. Well, I guess the other one probably is better because the other one doesn't talk.
I gotta tell you, I think this movie's better than the Venom movies.
I agree.
I think Venom movies are very bad, and that second one. That is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I was thinking about this movie, and I remember when I was a kid, and when you would stumble across kind of nerd movies, and it was like exciting because they didn't exist a lot, you know? And so there was a movie, and I don't even know what it was called, but it was about a guy who has like an Iron Man-like suit. And there's a parody of like if they had made Marvel movies in the 70s.
Yes.
The movie that they use in that they recycle footage from old movies that kind of look like they, and the movie they use for Iron Man is this movie, and I don't remember what it's called, but it's one of the movies I saw at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was just like, I don't know what this is, and you couldn't Google anything.
Was there a kid with a pet bird? Did someone
there was not a pet bird.
One still,
but it was like you couldn't Google things back then, and it was like if this movie. A movie like this was made back then, like, we would love it.
Yep.
But now the bar has been set so high.
That's exactly it.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one of my big talking points I wanted to say, is the MCU has elevated superhero movies so much that people online are watching this and saying, like, it's a 0% F-, you know? I mean, but what you have to understand is this movie is just aggressively mediocre.
That's exactly what I said.
But there is no MCU movie worse than this. Right? So, like, worst MCU movie is way better than this. So, your expectations
for
Dark World,
doesn't matter. Iron Man 2 are way better.
Those are rewatchable to an extent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, also, Dark World is at least, like, it's got some entertaining scenes to it.
Yeah, but it looks
better than this.
Yeah, look, that's the thing. This is an ugly movie. And not just because.
Hideous.
It's not just because, of course, it's dark and there's vampires and all that, but the colors and it's just just doesn't look like a well-shot film, and so it's not interesting to look at, and that's why I think it gets boring. The writing is just mediocre.
I gotta tell you though, and I don't think Jared Leto is a problem. He's like, he's not doing like, right, sometimes when we joke about him in House of Gucci, mm-hmm. where we're just like, what are you doing?
He's
like,
in a totally different
where
movie.
Are you?
And I wish they had made his movie.
I know, we wanted the wanted the Paolo movie.
That crazy character. So at least in this one, I feel like he's just doing his thing. Right?
I agree.
He's not doing anything weird.
It's not over the top. It's
the material. Jared Leto's perfectly fine in this movie. You know, I haven't been a huge fan of him in a while, but watching this, I didn't ever go like, oh God, this guy. Like, no, he's doing the best he could with this material, and it's a shame because I think I
feel like they probably shot kind of two versions of this movie because I feel like there's one, like if you watch the trailers, there's a lot of stuff that's not in this movie.
Yeah, there is.
And there's even like jokes that aren't in this movie, like in the.
Well, did you see the jokes that are in it? Because I'll tell you what, whatever that Venom thing is that he tried to joke about.
Okay, so that's a different. That's in the completely different
trailer. There's a tag on that Venom joke.
Oh,
he does it, and he's like Venom.
He's like, I'm just kidding.
He's like, I'm just kidding. Like
I'm Michael Morbius.
Because the way it played out when he said that, first of all, my theater was almost full. I don't understand. I mean, good for movie theaters and all that. Almost full. Crickets. I mean, no one thought this movie was funny.
No
one cheered and clapped and thought it was cool. It's just this movie is, and again, it's not the worst movie we've ever seen, but there's nothing about this movie that makes you go, yeah, I'm going to order that 4K steelbook when I get out of here. Like, who would watch this again?
The only advantage
mine
this movie
was like a dead town. Like, I was in IMAX opening day and nothing. No noise. No,
like, I promise, it's not her hyperbole. Like, not one peep came out of, and there were kids in the theater. Like, there
at
was
least you had quiet kids.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, you like older kids, but no one was like, oh man, that was cool. Like, no one had any reactions, which is very weird for a theatrical experience for it to be completely quiet in a superhero movie. Now, art house movies different.
Sure.
But this is a very weird movie with vampires fighting each other, flying through things. You know, and like nobody's
starting the wave at the English patient.
Exactly. So,
the only advantage this movie has is hopefully this will drop the price of Amazing Spider-Man 101, and I might be able to snag a copy at some point. Like, that's the only advantage this movie has. Well,
did it make money? Do we even know? Did it have a good weekend? I have no idea.
It's supposed to make $40 million. The advantage it has is it's a $75 million budget.
Okay.
So it did $40 domestic on a $75.
Go. Well, it looked better than Venom 2.
Oh, easily.
Like,
easily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, though, is that it's got really bad word of mouth, even from audiences. You know, cinema score is reportedly C+. I'm like, cinema score is very generous. You know, they, I think, try to kind of get the people that are excited about movies, get those good scores for the studios, and get, you know, they're a marketing firm, basically. So when you get a C+ for a Marvel movie and a cinema score,
But it's not a Marvel movie.
But to the
I think
to the average consumer,
that's true.
I
do love that. That's still my favorite tag, like that opening thing where it's like, doesn't say Marvel Studios, but we're going to get as close as we can to getting that logo.
I almost was the only audible person in my theater, almost laughed out loud when it said in association with Marvel. In association with Marvel. I'm going to go around and like, you know,
somewhere there's a lawyer that's going, okay. I mean, technically,
I guess.
Yeah,
we're gonna get as you can't use the Avengers theme, which is kind of what they use in the crawl. Well,
it's a different opening, right?
You can't
so there's
use
an
the,
MCU opening. Yes. This is Marvel Comics opening, which you've had since probably X-Men and Blade.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all, like, it's just the Marvel comic kind of thing.
In association with Marvel Studios. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
So is anyone here a Morbius expert? Because everything I know about Morbius is from the Spider-Man cartoon, and I was upset he was not like absorbing souls with his hand. I just gotta say.
I don't like I know enough about him that this is pretty, like, I don't know who the Matt Smith character is, but I think that this is pretty, a lot of Spider-Man's villains or people in that world are like experiments gone wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So the Doc Ock arms is pretty close. I'm trying to think. Green Goblin, not really an accident, but like it's all science based. It's all science based.
It's more grounded, right?
The lizard
and self experiment.
Yeah, right. The lizard is a pretty good example. So I think that this is pretty spot on. Is that he had been sick.
Yeah,
and he was trying to find a way to not be sick, and you know, he got
he's the living vampire,
right?
Thanks to Frederick Wortham.
Correct.
Yeah, like that's true.
Is that
yeah.
really they yes. had to make
so,
him not?
So yeah. Yeah. Frederick Wortham wrote the book Seduction of the Innocent, yeah. which was kind of like every generation has its thing. Old people are supposed to get upset about
right.
it. You know, video games for you, it was heavy metal and D&D for my age. Before that, it was rock and roll. Before rock and roll, it was comic books.
Yeah, the Comics Code.
And the Comics Code Authority came in, and one of the things, because in the 50s, superhero comics were not popular.
Nope.
At all.
They were gone.
At all. They were like circling the drain.
Besides and, like the big two, yeah, Superman and Batman, but that's about it.
Horror comics is what everybody read. And so
those were very risque for the
EC. If you ever go back and find the imprints from EC Comics with the Vault of Horror, Tales from the Crypt, all that stuff.
Two-Fisted Tales.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. I mean, they had a... the infamous cover,
not to be confused with One-Fisted Tales.
It's very different.
That's a totally
very
different.
Kind of, yeah. That's Eros Comics. That's what that is. The infamous cover is like a decapitated woman with like blood and gore dripping off. Oh, this is the cover. This
so
is
they
the cover
passed
this
all
comic.
These rules to get the comic seal. So it was like no severed heads, no drugs, no undead.
I think the hero has to win.
Yeah, the hero's got to win.
So Morbius the living.
So they
vampire.
Wanted to do a vampire thing. So their end run around it was, well, he's a living vampire.
Right.
That's
how
that.
We get you.
Hilarious. I mean, credit
in association
to them.
With vampires.
Well done, sir.
I mean, they had the Werewolf by Night, which I think we might see in a little bit on Moon Knight. That's a Moon Knight thing. Mm. They had Frankenstein. They had the Mummy. They had all these.
Well, because Moon Knight, his first appearance is in Werewolf.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct. So. Good luck finding that one.
Yeah.
That is out of my price
range.
But
did they have Frankenstein's monster? Joe?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that was the title of the book.
I thought you were talking about the Dr. Frankenstein.
No, Dr. Frankenstein did not exist.
Oh, okay.
It was Frankenstein's monster was the title of that book.
I just wanted the story about Frankenstein, about Dr. Frankenstein with no monster.
You did. Didn't you get it? Yeah. Didn't we get that?
Did we?
Wasn't that the Harry Potter one?
Oh, I didn't watch that one.
I think that is the story.
Is it really?
I think so.
So anyway.
It's an origin tale of Victor.
But yeah, so I know nothing about Morbius.
Yeah, I think this is pretty close that he.
I did some reading on it. I mean, it sounds like they did close. I just don't know as far as like little details about like, oh, and his friend is exactly like this. I heard that the Matt Smith character is kind of an amalgam of two different characters.
Oh, is
allegedly?
It?
Yeah. So it's a new character for this movie, but he's based on. Someone that I think he debuted before Morbius did, but he's a similar type of character. He has a problem, and then he ends up kind of going through the same procedure.
Okay.
Very similar origin.
So like, we should probably just dig into the movie proper.
Yes.
So he's getting
sick.
A bunch of bats.
Right. He goes to the Costa Rica. He captures a bunch of vampire bats because
did you say the Costa Rica?
Did I? Well, we didn't say the Morbius, so I feel like we should, you know, the island of Costa Rica.
The island of Dr. Morbius.
Morbius. Okay. Gets the vampire bats because Morbius believes that there's something inside the vampire bats that will fix nondescript disease.
Right.
That Morbius,
this disease, whatever he has. It's blood, but it makes your legs wither.
Yeah, like, right.
Like,
what?
They have to, like, he has this thing that we see multiple characters in the movie that they have to clean, cycle through their blood like three times a day.
Like
so
Keith Richards.
Is that what he did to keep him like?
I have no
idea.
Wasn't
that like a rumor though?
That's always the rumor.
That he would always
get
an infusion before whatever. So basically it has to be like clean. So he's very weak and this disorder makes his body not function properly and whatnot. So he's been searching for this cure for 25 years at this point.
Makes his legs wither, but not his arms.
Correct. Makes him very spindly.
His arms get different blood. Presumably.
Well, he is bone. He is pretty thin and wiry.
That's true.
They Captain America'd him.
They did. That is true, which I was like, okay. Like, I get
fine
it.
To me. Yeah. I mean, he's
they
has
just,
clothes on.
It was
so
just leftover
really...
footage from Million Dollar Buyers Club or whatever.
Oh, Dallas Buyers Club.
There we go.
Or Million Dollar Baby. Can I get that movie?
Sure.
The Million Dollar Baby Dallas Buyers Club
as
mashup.
As long as it's not this movie, I will co-sign that.
So he does. He finds, you know, he finds this cure. He injects it into himself on a boat in international waters.
We need to just talk about, like, so we get the bat scene
where
the bats are flying and then we get a flashback.
Oh,
for
yeah.
the third time in 6 weeks, we get a flashback from the present day where it's like 20 years earlier. In an orphanage in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Like, where is this place? Like,
that's a good point. That's a very good point. They are wearing, like, pre-World War II, like, school uniforms.
And then it's like, I thought that they were supposed to be, like, in like, some... Like, are they in America?
I don't know. Everybody
seems to be English, except when they look out the window, they're all like Hispanic, I think. And then
they're in Greece.
Are they?
And that's in the comics. I read Morbius is grows up with a single mother in Greece, and then he goes to New York to like study and do his research and stuff like that.
I did not. Those kids were supposed to be Greek.
Couldn't tell you that.
All I know is it was like, oh, here are four non-white kids. Let's have two white kids that are crippled kick the shit out of them. I was like, what are we doing? Like, what is happening here? That's definitely a very weird
choice.
I thought that was a bit much. It was kind of like the early 2000s trope where it's like, we need to show that these kids suck, so they're going to beat up a crippled kid.
Yeah.
Do it.
It was a little on the nose.
Well, this was 25 years earlier, you know. It was a different time.
I know. I'm like, watch it. I was like, everything about this place felt like it was the 40s. I'm like, it's 1998.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Doing
like,
the math
they
here.
Should be like on their Game Boys all day,
just hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like,
not
and so
picking
then he,
on the cripple.
So then like the kids' blood washing machine,
yeah,
it craps out.
Yeah, he drops
like,
dead real
and,
quick,
and he's like, yeah, it's like when the girls' blood IV gets disconnected in Airplane.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
and he like fixes it, and they're like,
you
knew how to fix a machine, ergo. You're a genius about blood work. Yeah. What?
I mean, he fixed it with a pen, a ballpoint pen.
Like he MacGyvered it. And I'm like, but the knowledge base that goes into fixing the machine is nothing about the knowledge base that goes into knowing how to
fluke.
Cure
about blood work.
I guess like, the Mad Men guy was basically like, you're smart.
Yeah.
It just, you know,
I got to tell you, the entire time, the way they never say that guy's character.
Yeah,
his name the entire time. They do it towards the end.
Oh.
And I was just like, I swear, this has got to be Norman Osborn.
Oh,
like, that's where I thought this entire time, right? Sony still has these characters.
But he wouldn't be doing this stuff with these
But
kids.
He would be funding stuff.
But
yeah,
this guy's
but
there with
that
him
guy
all day long.
That's true.
That guy apparently can make his whole living out of taking care of one kid. He's like,
I mean, that guy was rich.
I know, but he's like, I've devoted my whole life to
you. Well, yeah, he hitched his wagon to that guy. He's like, man, this guy, he is loaded.
I saw what a weird way to spend your career if you're some brilliant scientist guy.
So hey, man, sometimes you got to file that paycheck.
The next scene is like, we get Morbius. He's in... What, Switzerland?
Uh-huh.
Sweden? Yeah. Whoever gives out the Nobel Prize?
He's in Sweden. Yeah.
And they're like presenting him the Nobel Prize. And then the next scene is him with a girl who's also got the blood thing happening.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't believe you turned down the Nobel Prize so you could be with me. And I was like, wait, so you flew all the way to Switzerland could say no?
So
and,
you
and then
not
you
only,
could come back and say, I said no so I could be with you. How is that effective use of your time?
Not only did you fly to Sweden, but you got dressed up. You went to the ceremony.
You go
to the podium and you're like,
to be
screw
like,
you.
We're presenting you with this award. Please come to the stage. Thank you. I don't have time to accept this award. I am going home to help a sick child. You people are selfish sons of bitches. Morbius out.
And now I'm going home.
Man,
now
I'm
going home.
What am I?
It's like Forrest Gump when he's just running and running and running and he's like, okay, I'm just
going to
turn around now.
Yeah.
It must have been a change of heart last minute because you're right. That would make no sense to
it
do all that.
No sense whatsoever.
None. But also, like, just take the prize. And the money that comes with an award, you use that for your research.
I get, like, people get caught up in wanting awards and stuff, but, like, it's the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Like
it's kind of the highest one you could get.
Right. Like, if you're going to accept any of the awards, you take the Nobel Prize. Especially because, like, it comes with money, but it also comes with prestige that draws attention to your project so you can do more
to fund
things.
More research.
Right. Like, no, like, what?
Bro invented artificial blood.
Right.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, like, it's not the Golden Globes. Like, what?
And did you hear the throwaway line, though, of why he turned down the prize? They did explain it in a throwaway line.
No.
The little girl says to him, or he says, I couldn't accept a prize that I found by accident. doing research to cure himself, he came up with artificial blood that would save all these people. And since he wasn't trying to, and he was selfish and doing it for himself,
isn't that how science works?
That's like how
that's how it goes.
Right. But it wasn't the pursuit of the greater good. It was a selfish endeavor, so he couldn't accept it because he accidentally saved millions of lives.
Good lord!
Yeah. I think
which again is very dumb.
Some pharmaceutical companies that would like a word with him.
Yeah,
like,
all right,
well, that's like, not how it works at all.
hey, damn it! So yeah, so he ends up finding this cure. Matt Smith has been funding, who is like the little kid that he saves in the beginning.
The little kid who, when the machine stops for 2 seconds,
right,
falls over, and then he puts the thing in it, and he just instantly...
He was like, hey, what happened? What happened
to me?
That's
how you know he's a genius.
It's like, I owe you my life.
Yeah, that's not how medical things work. Like, you don't just...
Also, Matt Smith needs to figure it out, because he's been in some clunkers that we were just like... Because he was in a Terminator movie, right?
He was in Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, I was saying he was in that Soho movie.
That was good.
I like Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
As a really bad person.
Really bad dude. But
he's charismatic, isn't he? That Matt Smith fella. He is just...
He's good, but like also... We almost got a Spider-Man 3 scene in this where he's like dancing, turning into a vampire, but not turning into a vampire.
That's a bad move. That's a... Bad cinematography, you know, bad directing. Like, he's doing his charismatic thing, which with a different person behind the camera, I think would have been really clever and like good music and everything. But that's the problem, is it's just, it doesn't fit in this movie.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I'm not like, I didn't go like, oh man, Matt Smith is not good. I'm just like, what a weird choice. Because it's also jarring when he does that. It goes from like another scene and the tone just keeps shifting.
Yeah.
And I think another problem with this movie throughout the whole thing is that they don't know what tone they want for the film. So like they're trying to interject humor because everyone wants humor, because MCU has really excelled in that. But the writing's so bad that when they interject it again, it's crickets.
This character lives in the world of a horror action movie.
Yeah.
That's where this character needs to be.
Scary.
And it's interesting because Blade is both of those. The original Blade
or
1 and 2.
If you want to make it funny, don't make it wink wink funny.
That's exactly.
Make it like dark funny.
It's Venom. That's the problem. Yeah. Is we all thought Venom was very dumb, but look how much money for some reason it made, and people liked that kind of humor in those movies.
Hot take.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you're tagging. I was changing direction, so you go ahead.
Well, Venom making a lot of money, I think, makes sense, but mostly because he's the most famous Spider-Man villain.
Right.
So, you know, people went in because they wanted to see Venom on screen, especially when, like, aside from the spider logo, it seemed to be like, oh, he seems to be the most accurate version we've seen so far. So I don't, you know, blame people going in for that. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh. Sure. Yeah,
I mean, he's got huge appeal. Like, absolutely. Name recognition in a way that I don't think
kids today, not in kids, but like people don't realize just how massive that character was.
Yeah.
When Todd McFarlane puts him on the cover and Eric Larson draws, like, it was to this day, like, that 298, 299, 300 are top dollar books.
Yeah.
And still, like, even after a bad movie, those are still
top-tier
books.
But I think both those films, to my point earlier, they force the humor in there because they're trying to be MCU, and tonally, to me, it just doesn't click. Like, I didn't appreciate the humor in the Venom movies, and this movie's like, well, we got it because people love Venom's crazy humor, and then it falls flat every time. And I really do wish they would pick a tone. Blade has a tone.
Blade 1 and 2 have a tone.
They have a tone, and they stick with it. That first Blade movie, it looks good.
Oh,
the horror is good.
So good.
The prosthetics are good.
Yep.
The action's good. And Blade, Wesley Snipes, his delivery
humor. Top tier Wesley Snipes, 1998. Yeah. Like, he is riding
but
high.
But he's funny.
Literally and figuratively. But
but he's serious, but he's funny. His lines.
He's got great line delivery.
When he delivers them, you know, without that little wink at the camera, it works, right? In that tone. And so this movie should have the same tone as a Blade movie, right? It's the same universe. It's the
same world.
Right? So I think that's the problem, is they were like, well, we got to do the winky, you know, wink wink.
I think my favorite character in the whole movie, the cop, Al Madrigal. Like, I thought...
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And he is in a different movie.
But he was great.
But what, if anything, is Tyrese doing in this movie? What a waste.
I honestly think he is supposed to be somebody.
You have something?
Oh, I know. I can't
You do?
Answer
okay,
this
please.
One. Okay, so he apparently just said in an interview he's supposed to be playing a super cop. And originally in the version that they were shooting, he has this super arm or something. It's in the trailer. You see it. And he's kind of like a superhero also, who delivers some like vigilante justice of sorts. And he's supposed to be fighting crime.
So they just removed that completely?
First off, if you're a cop who's punishing people outside the law, that's not a vigilante. That's a rogue cop.
that's a bad guy.
Yes. Yeah.
But so basically
they do reference that though, where he says when Tyrese and Jared Leto come face to face for the first time, he was like, "Hey, I want to thank you. Your blood saved my arm while I was overseas fighting."
He does make that comment. And
so,
there's a massive re-edit of this film.
There has to be.
Because if you watch the first trailer, that tanker scene,
yeah,
when the cops, you know, the cops have them in the interrogation room,
yeah,
and they in the interrogation scene, they're saying it's clearly the same one. He's got the same vial of magic Jesus juice sitting there, and he's like, well, you went to Costa Rica.
Thank you. Yes.
And you found all these bats, and then you were and you disappeared, and we found you 2 months later.
That's right.
Floating on this tanker.
Yeah.
Oh.
In the middle of nowhere.
But in this one, he jumps off the tanker.
But in this one, the tanker scene comes much later, and you see him jump off the tanker.
So they edit in a little
because
person.
If there's anything we know about vampires, it's that they're really good swimmers.
Oh. No, that's it. They hate water.
I know.
Like, that's a weakness.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Well, no one blessed the ocean at that time.
I don't know. They can't cross moving water. That's vampire lore, is a vampire cannot cross moving water.
And the trailer
well, he's
has
a living vampire, Joe.
That's fair. That's a good point.
And the trailer has, like, in that interrogation scene, there's a Lost Boys joke that's not in the movie.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And so, I mean, They're clearly
I wonder.
That
well, this movie's been on the shelf for 2 years, and apparently they got bored because they're just cutting up the whole thing.
I wonder how that other movie plays.
Well, and there's the Michael Keaton stuff.
Uh-huh.
He's got, like, it's multiple lines of dialogue
in the
trailer.
It's completely different. Yeah, he's not in this movie. They put in the trailers. I didn't watch them, but I heard Michael Keaton's in all these trailers. He's a post-credit
scene. He said in the trailer, it's you see him, and he's like, "Hey, Doc, we need to have a talk." And, like, that's the line, and you're just like, wait.
And he's not just in the jail. You see him be outside the
jail. Oh, do you?
You see him outside the jail, and, like, they're taking pictures of him as they transport
There's
him.
There's also the scene with Jared Leto running down the street, and you see the poster of Spider-Man in the background that says murderer.
Yeah, and I read an interview with the director of this film, and they asked him, "Hey, what happened? Why isn't Spider-Man with enemy or whatever stamped across it? Why isn't that in the movie?" And he's like, "Because that wasn't my scene." He goes, "They put that in there without any of my, I didn't write it. I didn't put it in the movie. So I don't have an answer for you." So, like, the trailer people in Sony are
that's
just
cool.
Inserting Spider-Man into trailers for movies that the director never filmed.
But here's the, clearly they filmed the Michael Keaton stuff. Like,
I think that second one was why it got delayed. That second post-credit sequence is why this movie gets delayed. I also think...
Which doesn't even have Michael Keaton in it.
Right.
Like, all right.
It's just it's all voice.
It's all voice. So I honestly...
But they needed time to
But it
to
adds
CG
nothing
that.
To the first post-credit.
None.
Other than, like, we're going to do Sinister Six.
No, they're completely disconnected. And it's like...
But two characters aren't in the Sinister Six.
But hold on. Didn't we just get the Sinister Six? You know what I'm saying?
You kind of did.
But
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They literally just teased something we just saw and made $2 billion. Like, we don't care. You've already done it.
This is the crazy thing about this movie is they want their cake and to have their cake and eat it too, right? Horizon Labs is a thing in the Spider-Man, in current Spider-Man lore. The Daily Bugle is in this movie.
Right. This is the Tobey Maguire Daily Bugle.
How do you know that?
Because the newspaper
the
is the same style as the Tobey
Maguire.
Well,
that's Maguire the logo. Ones. That's the logo.
No. It's identical. You can have a lot of Daily Bugles, and they can have different looks. I mean, they copy and pasted the Tobey Maguire Daily Bugle.
That's a weird because like, so that's even weirder, right? Because I don't think you're getting Tobey Maguire back. I think No Way Home is his swan song, and it was a perfect send off.
Yeah.
I think if you get anybody to come back,
it's
Andrew
Garfield.
Right.
And
I'm just saying though, like I can't think that's an accident.
I don't want another Tobey Maguire movie.
I don't either.
I want another Andrew Garfield movie.
I would want a better one than
but especially after seeing him in No Way Home, I want another Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, give me that adult Peter Parker.
So
yeah.
The Bats from Costa Rica, Michael Morbius has been doing...
The Costa Rica.
Yes,
the
I'm sorry.
Costa Rica. Thank
he's
you.
Been doing he's been doing illegal hidden experiments.
Yeah.
But they're in a clear tube in his office with clear windows.
Can we also
so
say
she
that...
Goes, she goes, you better not let anyone find out about this. And he turns on this light and there's a tube of bats and then people are just coming and going into his office.
Do you think that,
what?
Do you,
did you like the best way to store bats?
That's also,
also
true.
A lot about bat storage, but it seems like
Batman has taught me anything.
And a clear bat tornado tube.
Yeah. That's like, dude, they went to Chuck E. Cheese. That's the thing that you catch the money in. Right?
You're catching bats.
Yeah. And, like and, you, and tell me, who's feeding those bats? Who's taking care of that many bats?
Michael Morbius.
He is the only person that knows about these secret illegal bats, and there's
illegal
thousands
vampire
of them.
Bats.
Yeah. I just feel like the finance department is like, Dr. Morbius, what is this bill we have here for $45,000 in mosquitoes?
Also, did you think
what is
the
happening down there?
Did you think the score was like a knockoff Hans Zimmer? Like a knockoff Batman.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah,
a knockoff Batman score.
I couldn't even tell you what the score sounded like. What did you think, Sharia?
Straight up, I agree with that one. So here's the there's a point after he becomes the living vampire. He enters that tube.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The bats are circling him, and yes. It's just Batman Begins is playing. I swear to God.
It like, was.
You
it was
sync
I totally
up
agree
the
with
scene
you.
When he first enters the cave in Batman Begins, when he first is
yep.
meeting the bats. Sync up the music in that scene
that's,
to the Morbius.
It's almost
identical.
It's almost the exact
but see,
same.
But you got to read it. So the title of that song is Bat Space Man, comma, Begins. It's right. He is a Batman. He's a living vampire. So yeah. They
so,
got away with it.
Here's what happens. He gets on this. He gets to international waters, which apparently is off the coast of Long Island. Like that's
the Long Island.
The Long Island. Yeah. Yes. No, sorry. Injects himself with the serum, and I will say, visually, he looks just like the character. Like they don't do anything different. He looks just like.
I just
like,
wish it was prosthetics.
I agree with you.
It looks like Danny Trejo and Michael Jackson. Like.
God, don't make me think. I'm just. I don't want to picture
wrong?
That.
No,
tell
you're not
me
wrong.
I'm wrong.
Well, you're thinking. You're talking Michael Jackson post getting
yes.
set on fire.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But yeah. The CGI design looks exactly like the comic.
Exactly
Morbius.
Like the comics.
Like they did
yeah.
a good job of the design of it. But the whole movie, Matt Smith and Jared Leto, it's completely CG. They
yep.
do not use prosthetics.
Nope.
They do not use any makeup effects. And that just gets so old because I kept thinking how cool this would have been with practical effects.
I don't even mind like the shifting, right? Like Jared Leto's when he shifts into the vampire, that's fine. You got to use CG for that. You don't, I don't know. You have to.
By the way,
to.
Jared Leto is 50.
I mean,
that dude looks forever 25.
Good
like,
for
I just,
him.
You know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he leads a cult. Like, what do you, you know? He's
but I just, I was
off
shocked.
The blood
I mean,
of
I,
his followers.
If you would have asked me, I would have thought maybe he's 40, but like, dude's 50.
As he's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
But
my
I know,
so-called
but,
life is the first time
I know,
I saw him.
But it's like, think of him 10 years ago. Like, the dude is not aged, so I'm yeah. thinking, is he really a vampire? Maybe he
I get this all the time.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's true. You are aging backwards also. But I just am shocked that it's like Jared Leto, to me, has not changed his look in decades.
Yeah. It is funny when, of course, we get the obligatory shirtless scene.
Oh, if you work out to get in that shape,
yeah,
Joe, you don't do that
no,
to not
that's
be
true,
seen.
That's true.
Like, I mean, the dude,
he got
ripped. Being 50, he's ripped,
yeah,
right?
He's, yeah.
You got it.
He's an MCU shape.
And then I like also that immediately after that, as they often do, they put on a shirt. So if he doesn't stay in that shape
or
do reshoots or whatever, I mean, he covers himself up with the baggiest jacket.
I got to tell
it.
You, when we get to that final pose, he is, you could tell by his face that he is significantly thinner and smaller than he was throughout this entire
movie. Right, because you,
there's a,
that's
he
what I'm
looks
saying.
Visually
one,
different.
One scene he did to be like, yeah, the pre-whatever in his face, and then
right.
he got jacked for that one body shot, and then the rest
he's
of the
like,
movie.
He's like, I'm good.
There's, yeah.
unless you're Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth, like you're not maintaining that level.
No, even
of,
Chris Hemsworth, though, he pumps up for those Thor movies, and then if you see him, look at Ghostbusters 2016.
Oh, no,
he
I mean,
thin.
I mean, when he's know? Getting in shape for those movies, like yeah. he is in shape the entire time, right? Like, because he's always wearing like
oh
no sleeves yeah, he, or you know he's fine
for the movie.
Chris
shoot,
Evans
he has
is
to be
Chris
in
Evans
shape,
is wearing
right,
like an
right.
Under Armour
yeah.
like skin tight
right, right,
shirt
right.
the entire time. Yeah,
but for Morbius it doesn't matter. This is the other thing about the comics, though, so we don't get any complaints or anything. they in the comics, Morbius, because of his blood disorder, actually kind of looks like a vampire. Like,
yeah.
He's very grotesque. He's ugly and weathered.
Oh, now we're going to get letters from vampires.
I got to tell you,
like,
there's a cover to Morbius number one, which
we
I think
don't
was in
sparkle
like.
In the sun.
There's a great cover of him that looks like a legit badass vampire. Yeah. And I was like, and I got that.
But pre the powers, pre the experiment, Morbius is already supposed to be this ugly person that, like, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but that's the origin, is like he already looks grotesque from his disorder. And then in this movie, they cast like beautiful looking Jared Leto, who's a little pale.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so they went from a character that's supposed to be
Okay, but Hugh Jackman doesn't look anything like Wolverine.
Okay, that's
like
fair.
That's
true.
Yeah,
I just mean that, like,
welcome to Hollywood.
But I just mean sickly, quote unquote, sickly Michael Morbius is Jared Leto a little bit thin and with white
and
pale
with,
makeup
and,
on.
And with digitally enhanced like purple.
So I'm looking
veins.
At him and I'm like, you don't look that sick. You're
yeah,
very
right,
pale,
right.
But you don't look sick.
It's the cheekbones, Kevin. You see the cheekbones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So he gets on the boat, he injects himself with the formula, and of course he turns into a vampire. This is like the horror aspect of what should have been, is where he's picking these guys off on the boat. And I was like, man, if they did this right, and this is a horror movie,
this had the potential to be scary.
Yep.
And none of it's scary.
Nope.
And I think one of the main reasons it's not scary is the score that you were talking
yeah.
about. They never punch up the scary moments with, like, I don't want to say a jump scare, but you know how the music gets loud in parts when they try to scare you, and,
mm-hmm.
and the really yeah. quiet but like tension filled little noise that ramps up. They never do that in this movie. So you have what visually looks like it could be a scary movie, but there's nothing to get you to engage with that.
I think of that scene, and we're going to keep talking about Blade because it's the same world,
universe,
right?
Yeah. That's, he's a Blade villain.
He's not even real. That's where this character kind of lies, right? Because he is kind of a villain, but he also, like, he has joined he's part of the Legion of Monsters, which are good guys. Mm. So, like, he kind of walks that line every once in a while.
But he's a Spider-Man villain.
He begins as
a
Spider-Man
villain,
yes. He's
a Blade villain, but I'm not saying, but he's also this anti-hero.
Right.
That's the thing you get into with, is he taking on the worst villain, you know?
Right. There's that scene in Blade where they're at the, like, meatpacking plant, or where that party is in the very yeah. beginning of the movie. And when things start to, oh man, but when things start to turn, you're, and like the
that is a terrifying opening
the,
scene.
The
when
whole,
the,
like
the humans there,
when the sprinklers open up
yeah.
and they're raining blood.
And he's
and
surrounded by vampires.
Surrounded.
That is a terrifying scene.
Surrounded by vampires.
Yeah. Are they playing Slayer?
That'd be great.
Because it's
raining
blood,
blood,
right?
Yeah, well done. But yeah, like, that scene is terrifying, where this one, where he's just like, oh, we're not going to see him, but we're going to see him mist away
yeah.
and like cut these. But we're going to get black blood. We're not going to get any gore or like, you know, and it's PG-13, so I understand it. But
here's the other thing too. Did you notice how many times in this movie, because it obviously didn't look good or they didn't have the time or budget for good CGI, that they just shook the camera around so
yes.
you couldn't see anything?
Yeah. Or there was one where somebody gets shot and they literally just clutch their chest and fall over, like when you were playing cops and robbers.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
like,
you got me. There was nothing else that happened.
But like when Morbius transforms or flies away, what they do is just shake the camera so you can't tell what's going on.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
how
yeah.
cheap is that?
Well,
the worst offense for me was during that ship scene. There's this one guy he gets to, and he slashes his neck.
Yeah.
And you can hear that the glugging sound. It's like, and it's like, there's no blood you can see.
Yeah.
There's no wound you can see.
No.
And he just goes, go, look down. And
yeah.
It's like, wait, did you die by shock? I mean, like.
Matt Smith, after he takes the serum, he takes out like five cops in the subway station, and you just see like that, like him flash, like that effect of like him misting around, and then like it looks like he just punches them all, and they all fall over.
Yes, and then that scene, I was like, okay, so he just knocked them out,
right? And then,
and then they come back
and there's
like,
five dead cops.
Five
on there.
I was like, he killed them
that's
all.
That's what I'm saying. It looked like he just knocked them out. That's all you can tell happened. And they come back and there's tags on, you know, little placards
that the
detectives are investigating. I'm like, how did he kill those?
That doesn't make any sense. So he comes back. He takes the. He realizes he messed up.
Yeah.
He has to feed on the
synthetic
blood
for
because
6 hours.
I get yeah. He becomes okay for 6 hours. If he doesn't feed
but
after
the
six
time
hours,
is shrinking.
Yes, if he doesn't feed within the 6 hours, he reverts to like a legit vampire
yeah.
and can't stop himself. Matt Smith realizes
and you wouldn't like him when he's hungry.
Off with that line, like that's.
Ugh.
You know, and here's the thing: That line works
in the MCU?
Not even in the MCU. I think that line works for people Tom's age, my age.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, you gotta be pretty old for that.
I mean, it worked for me in the way that we all understood it, but it wasn't. Did anyone enjoy that line?
No. Well, I mean, like,
but I'm just like, even the joke itself is very, it's a very dated reference.
Yeah. Like, Eric Bana gets away with that joke because he's the Hulk.
And that movie's 15 years ago.
Yeah,
but
right,
anyone
right.
in a Hulk movie gets away with that line. But my point is, like, to be wink, wink, nod, nod in a non MCU movie, even. Like, I think it works in the MCU even because Hulk's there. But here, it's like, also, you know, keep Xavier's school out your mouth.
Do they say Xavier school for
in the opening move in the opening? I'm like, don't you dare try to bring in X-Men into this crazy universe. Yeah, he says, hey, there's a school for gifted kids in upstate New York that I think will take you in.
I didn't even hear
and
that.
I'm just like, no, stop.
But he's not a mutant.
I know. I don't understand why they would take him in, but that's what he alludes to.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's an
okay.
Easter egg for a property they don't own and can't mention anything by name. But clearly when he says there's a school for gifted kids
now,
in New York.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to call bull on it being in the Tobey Maguire universe because they reference Venom. He says we had that thing up in San Francisco.
Well, right.
That's Venom.
Yeah,
that's the Venom. That's that. Everything that happens in the Venom movies is in San Francisco.
But that's still in a different universe than Parker because he gets zapped to our MCU universe. I mean, you don't know what Spider-Man lives in that Venom universe.
I think we need to entertain the notion
Parker?
That maybe
that's
they
the question,
don't.
Right?
I think we need to entertain the notion that maybe they don't know what they're doing.
That's the thing, right? And you
it's
know
just,
that Kevin Feige
it's just
like
cheap, lazy jokes and Easter eggs that have no real cohesion.
Where in the MCU, when Feige plants his Easter eggs, it's
there's
leading
a reason
to something, right?
Something. Or it is a wink and a nod,
right? But it,
right,
but it's, it but it means that thing you know about is real in this world.
Yeah,
where this is just wouldn't it be funny if we said that?
Right, for them to mention something they don't have the rights to and can never happen. It's like, well, but there isn't. Not in your world. There's not a school in New York because you can't do it.
Yeah.
You literally
you're
can't.
Not allowed to have that.
You're not allowed. So, like, it's not as funny when you know that it's like this thing they're referencing that doesn't exist. It's kind of like in a movie when they reference the actor that's actually playing a character in the movie, but like somehow that actor is not the character.
Oh, like the Nick Cage movie?
No, that clearly knows what it's doing. But what I mean is, like, when they try to do something clever with, like, an actor and they mention that this movie exists that actor starred in, but this is the guy that's not an actor, you know what I mean? Where you're just like...
Like,
oh,
if
like
Back
that's...
to the Future had referenced Family Ties.
Exactly.
Oh, I
You'd
see,
You'd been
I
like,
see.
But you're the guy from Family Ties. Well, who stars in Family Ties?
Yeah, where it's...
In your world, is Alex P. Keaton played by Justin Bateman?
Yes. Yes.
What
does
that
mean
about
Teen
Wolf 2?
See, you ask too many questions when you don't have the rights to this stuff, so it's just...
Right.
So Matt Smith gets jealous.
He figures out that he won't, you know, Jared Leto will not give him the formula because of the effects.
And the clock's ticking. They're both dying.
Yeah. So there's an, you know... Morbius is sitting in that room with the little girl that we saw at the beginning of the movie, and the nurse. This nurse.
Oh God!
That
they
seen.
Never come back to see if he saves her or anything.
Nope.
They had to induce a coma so that girl would not die.
Yep.
And you would think by the end of the movie they would have addressed it with somehow. Nope. That's just
no.
Yeah,
they forgot about her.
So
he
Matt,
gave up the Nobel Peace Prize for that little girl, and then forgot about her.
Yeah, that's true. And then so Matt Smith is now like. The epitome of a vampire, right? He doesn't care. He's happy. He kind of pulls a Kaiser Soze.
Oh, it's totally. Thank you, because I forgot until you just mentioned it. The walking away and then,
yeah,
I mean,
and then the spin. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right,
but. But I can appreciate a director paying homage to better movies. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. I wish it were in a better movie, but like, I'm like, oh, cool. That's a
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
So this is the leading up to the big fight.
Oh, also,
right?
How bad are these cops? This guy comes in.
These cops are terrible.
This guy comes in to visit Morbius. He's been in jail because the Detective Tyrese, one of the greatest detectives there ever was, catches him, and they put him in jail. He has a visitor. Matt Smith comes in with a cane. Could have a sword in it. Could have he comes in with a cane, leaves it behind, leaves a pack of blood on the. I mean, I don't care how slick you think you are. They didn't search him for a pack of blood before he came in.
And also, he leaves. The cop lets him out. The blood plaque is. Lying right in the open.
Yeah,
it's
he just
right
leaves
there.
It on the
bed.
The
cop's been looking in the cell the whole time, and he's watching it, and he just leaves
he's
it on
like,
his.
Oh, never mind.
But my point is, you can't bring that stuff in when you visit. First of all, you usually get visited in a behind a glass
in a visiting
and you got,
area,
and you got a handcuff.
They don't just bring you to the
into
cell.
Your room.
Yeah.
Like this guy is just leaving stuff all over the place.
It's very like, hey, how can we get him some blood? Oh, I got an idea.
And also, apparently, there's a big enough window you can just jump out. I mean, I know. People usually aren't strong enough, but it's still a big enough window to where it's like
he just smashed the wall open.
I thought it looked like he just went through the window.
No, I think he smashes. If I remember, he smashes through the wall.
It's just very silly.
It is very silly.
Even for a superhero comic book movie, it's very silly.
Yes.
And not in a good way.
No.
Can I address one thing?
Yes.
And it's about the movie itself. So this is kind of trying to be a horror movie. And it's kind of disappointing because the last movie I believe the same director made was Life, right? The one in space.
Oh, yeah. Well, that explains a lot.
Have you guys seen it?
Oh, yeah,
the one with Ryan Reynolds in it for 4 minutes.
The not Venom origin
story.
Yeah,
everybody thought it was going to be a Venom lead-in. Yeah.
Right.
So, I didn't hate it.
Like, all those scenes. Oh, no, I was just going to suggest, like, some of those scenes, like, I mean, it's not entirely a perfect movie, but some of the scenes have a creepy feeling. There's an unsettling thing.
There's a lot of horror throughout that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed, so it's like, because I know this director can do it. I know you can see that. You don't see it over here, which is kind of sucked, actually, and kind of takes you out of the moment. So when we're talking about, like, you know, like, especially in these moments, like, there's the hospital scene where his assistant gets killed.
That's a good scene. I like, that's well done.
Yeah. I wish it could have been, I think it could have been a lot creepier, but it's kind of relying on the fact that here's the thing. When the lights come on, it's gone.
That's like, he like ripped that off from that Lights Out movie or whatever, you know, where the person turns the lights off.
The problem is that Lights Out, 3 minutes short, everybody's ripping off. Like, it was that good, and that's now kind of the flip. That's the new thing.
It's a cool effect, but yeah, I agree. It could have been better, and there could have been more of that in it for sure.
Yeah.
So Matt Smith, you know, he finds out that, Morbius finds out that Matt Smith, he left his cane behind, so obviously he couldn't get around without it, so he knows he's taking the serum.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised they didn't do. They did a checkoff serum at the lab, and you see two vials, and then Morbius says, no, you can't do this. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. And then Matt Smith leaves, and they never do a shot of, like, one being there.
I think that's because there's a very different version of this movie.
Okay. Because you set it up. They focused the camera on the vials with two of them and then show him in the background and he's looking at them.
Right.
And they never, there are a lot of things like that I think that's why the editing is so messy because it's disjointed. They set things up that don't pay off.
I this is one of those times where I just wonder if the original version of this is significantly better. This would not surprise me. Yeah, this seems like the studio got way involved in this again. Like that's the Sony thing, right? They just can't keep their freaking hands out.
They want an MCU and they keep making the wrong choices because they are not earning
it. It's the same problem DC has. They're so worried about the next four movies, they forget to make the current
one in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to speed through this, it basically comes down to Morbius versus Matt
Vampire
Smith.
Fight.
That's what we're doing. There is this other female character that is in this world that they hint that there was a relationship between Morbius and her at one point, and that's not
in the
case.
Comic books. They are together.
There makes more sense. And then finally, Matt Smith realizes that she is the way to get Morbius to get out in the open. He takes her, and then he ends up killing her.
I did like the sonar thing. I thought that visual effect was cool.
I got to tell you, I think that's a cool power. It's Daredevil. It's the same power
but visually,
as Daredevil.
It's like, the way it moved, I thought that was cool.
I got to tell you, though, but where does it stop?
The problem I had with it, it was like, I'm like, you know, echolocation isn't the same thing as super hearing, right? Because the writers of this movie don't.
Yeah, right.
You can't. Right. It's not like he's listening to conversation that is like a mile away.
No, he does it at the end. You
that's
have to
not what
you
echolocation.
You have
is.
To yell to produce the sound to be seen.
And there's one moment where he's using it, which I actually like because it was subtle. He was shaking his keys.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's neat. But like, you
but
see
most
him,
of the time, it's just super hearing.
He's
you're
just
right.
listening to conversations happening 80 blocks away.
It's
and
Spidey
like,
sense.
And I'm like, you know? That's it's not
Spidey
what echolocation
sense.
Is.
But like Daredevil uses it the best, right? Like he can listen to foots on a pavement or like I do as not.
But
good
he has super hearing, whereas it's. He's using sonar in this movie. Like they're not the same powers.
One of the few things about that Daredevil movie, the Ben Affleck one, that I think is well done is that scene on the rooftop where he can see Jennifer Garner's face because of
the rain cool
hitting
moment.
Her face. Yeah. Like that was like, okay, they get how this power works. The rest of that movie is terrible.
Yeah.
But
he's using echolocation and Daredevil doesn't have that. So he just used the right power.
Right.
Because that's
correct.
Anyway.
Correct. So Matt Smith ends up killing the love interest, and then she bites his lip.
He doesn't kill her.
Because, yeah, he does.
No, because she's still alive. He doesn't kiss a dead body.
Then she get turned into a vampire? Yes.
Well, she bites him, and then his blood falls into her mouth. But I at the same time,
but
was like...
But that's not dead. I'm just telling you, he's not dead. She's not dead yet, because he finds her, and she's...
But then
dead.
He, but then Morbius bites her.
Yeah, because
she's
says,
only mostly dead.
She
halfway dead.
She tells him, she says, don't let it go to waste. She's saying, well, I'm already dead. Bite me and use my blood to get strong enough to kill him.
Bite
oh,
me, it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, some people like that.
Yeah.
But as in the comics also, she gets turned into one, and it's really bad news for Morbius because she has a bloodthirst that cannot...
Turned into one? She's... Those people.
Oh, sorry. Kevin. She turns into
a living vampire.
No, she turns into a real vampire. And she can't control it, and Morbius has to stop her. And
because women are weaker.
Correct. Yeah. Can't control their emotions.
But right. So in the comics, he has to kill her, which is obviously a very, a conundrum.
Well, they definitely want that to happen.
Well,
that
yeah.
She's going to turn.
It's like Guns N' Roses. He used to love her, but he has to kill her.
That's right. That's what has to work.
So this is one of the most anticlimactic fights.
Terrible.
It's another one of those boring, and this is where it gets real boring with the bad action that just keeps going. Bad
the
CGI.
Shaky cam.
It's two vampires floating around, knocking into stuff, just indiscernible, dark,
yes.
Terribly shot. And then at the very end, Morbius does the actual, kind of like echolocation, but like he calls for his bat friends. He lets out a scream. Mm-hmm. And then the bats come and surround Matt Smith.
And then he hits him with the formula and turns him back into...
Well, it's not the formula.
It's the antidote.
It's the,
right.
the death, the poison.
It's the antidote.
It's not the poison. It's poison.
No,
it's not antidote.
No, I mean...
No, he in the movie, he creates
it's
a poison.
Right? Like it's,
oh,
it's not
I thought it was... Okay.
Yeah.
No,
I'm with you.
Morbius was going to kill himself
makes your
with
blood
the poison.
Coagulate or not coagulate.
Yeah,
or...
he tells the love interest... he says that I'm a monster. Here's this thing and like, take me out if it gets too bad.
And he does.
So he uses that. So he actually does kill Matt Smith. And then Matt Smith goes back to his human form, but he's like, please, I'm your best friend. Don't do it. But he's
too late. Already done. This movie. So, okay. We should get the two post credit sequences where we get the multiverse sky opens up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't play by the rules of what the multiverse thing.
It didn't
thing,
send him back to his universe. It sent him to a different.
But like
multiverse.
That was the thing, right? The deal with the multiverse split was that it was bringing everyone who had any ties to Spider-Man to the MCU Earth.
And sending them back to their original.
And sending them back to their original. Right. So that was the whole thing.
But it never explained how Venom came in and came out.
That's true.
Right?
That's
that was
true.
The big mess where they're like, oh,
yeah.
We want Venom
like,
in this.
Where it was just like, but how does that explain Venom? It still didn't explain
but
Venom.
Because Sony had no idea, and we're pretty sure Feige was like, no.
Yeah,
no.
And
we
Feige's
don't want
like,
that.
We're going to get him out of here.
So they got him out quick.
Except for the little piece right. Of the symbiote.
Well,
that
they can play
behind.
With that, but yeah,
right.
He's out of here.
So now, here, all of a sudden, Adrian Toomes, Michael Keaton from... Spider-Man Homecoming shows up in this jail cell. They release him because they're like, we don't know who this guy is, which means there's no Adrian Toomes in whichever Spider-Man
right.
world
no
this
crime
is.
To lock him up. So
he gets out, and that's kind of the end of that one. Then about literally 10 seconds later, they're like, oh, here's another one.
And also, didn't Morbius just learn some valuable lessons? Like, he's going to want to know, go be a part of the Sinister Six now?
But wait a minute.
But
that's the thing.
But when in the second post credit scene, he's like, I think some guys like us could get together and do some good.
Oh, I read that as a wink, wink.
But
I thought
he
meant good.
He says, we're here. I'm here because of Spider-Man.
He says, I think I'm here because of Spider-Man.
But
that
means
thought he meant to trick him to say good. I thought good was like bad when bad is good.
How does
good
he
good
know?
Thank you. Who knows who Spider-Man is?
How
there's
does he,
no reference to Spider-Man.
Where did he get his hyper sophisticated costume from?
Where
he found that from alien technology in the MCU
Chitauri.
And there's no, yeah. How did he build the costume? It makes no
this,
sense.
Like, but that's the thing is like even Morbius is like yeah, bagawk Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How do you know who Spider-Man is? There's been no reference to Spider-Man at all.
But he entered it. To me, I thought he was saying, like, let's go be bad guys, essentially, by the good.
I read it as more like vigilantes, but not the cop kind.
But then Morbius is like, interesting. But I'm like, wait, no, why would you want anything to do with this? You just learned all these lessons.
Also,
you know,
Spider-Man?
You know what his first question is? Who's Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
Well, he's like, I should call myself Batman then, right?
The obvious
like,
choice.
I agree. This movie is like,
If I got superpowers, I wouldn't be like, and my superhero name is O'Keefe.
Yeah,
like that's just lazy,
right?
I like the idea. We're getting Blade. We know we're getting Blade in the MCU.
Yeah,
we know we're
not
getting
in here.
We know we're getting, like, they're setting things up for the Blade world over there. It sucks that Sony has the rights to all of these, like, Marvel, like, Spider-Man-esque characters. I got to tell you, you can't do these characters. Venom is the only one that comes even close to being able to be done without Spider-Man. You can't do Morbius. You can't do the Black Cat. You can't do Mary Jane. You can't do Silver
Kraven.
Sable. Yeah, Kraven, you could do if you don't tie him into Spider-Man.
But I don't want him without Spider-Man is my
right.
point. Why do I want
Kraven is a bad guy. I
yes.
don't want to root for Kraven the Hunter.
It's no. like Sony movies are like ordering ice cream and then only eating the cone.
Yeah.
Sony movies are like ordering ice cream and then getting frozen yogurt.
Yeah. No, frozen yogurt.
I just want to inform y'all that this same team of writers is doing the Madam Web movie with Dakota Johnson next. Oh. So
here's what I will say about that.
Okay.
I have the first appearance of both Madam, the original
so
Madam Web.
So it benefits you.
Yeah, the original Madam Web and who I think is going to be the Dakota Johnson Madam Web. And I have the first appearance of Spider-Gwen, who I also think is going to be the Sony's answer to Spider-Man. They're going to bring in a Gwen Stacy, make her Spider-Gwen, and now they've got a spider character to play off of throughout the Venom.
So here's the deal.
Sonyverse.
Sony obviously doesn't want to give up the rights to these characters because they're making millions. MCU has plenty of characters that they never have to touch Spider-Man again.
No.
I wish, if they're going to do all this crap, just get Spider-Man back. I don't care. I'm not saying Sony can do it as well as MCU.
Yeah.
I love them in there. But we've got plenty to keep us busy.
But the obvious answer here is you give MCU Tom Holland and you give Sony Andrew Garfield.
Right. Two Spider-Men are better than one.
You just have two Spider-Men. And
that's true.
Especially because of how much people loved No Way Home.
Yeah.
Right. Previously, I think the thought process would be, will the public really get that? And because of how much people love No Way Home, people
now
would absolutely get that now. So make Andrew Garfield your Spider-Man and build off of that and let Tom Holland go be the MCU Spider-Man and quit doing whatever
this
is.
I like your solution because that's essentially what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking of keeping two, but that's what I mean. If you're going to have all these Spider-Man villain, give them a Spider-Man because they don't work without him.
You need
a
Spider-Man.
Right.
You have to have a Spider-Man for these villains to work.
So they got to do a Spider-Man movie on their own, whether it's a different one, whatever. But please put him back in this universe so you can have Venom and Kraven and all these people, and it's it will make sense.
Give it a reason.
Because 10 of these, Spider-Man villain movies without Spider-Man is just dumb. We keep getting these, and like, I think if Spider-Man were involved in this somehow, you'd care a lot more. But this movie's what does it matter? What is it building to that they're alluding to at the end?
It's a bridge to nowhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing is Morbius isn't even a member of the Sinister Six.
Right.
Not a thing. He's not a key.
Right.
He's just an outlying character. They're like, by the way, we're going to put you front and center.
And it's not like Keaton said we're going to build the Sinister Six, but it's just kind of they're trying to do that thing, the villain team up. You know,
have I told you about the Avengers initiative?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Michael Keaton is now going to be the.
Right.
Except it was cool that time.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
That was so cool.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. As we all just have a moment of silence.
How
about
great
how
was
cool
that?
Was.
I think this movie is aggressively mediocre. It's not as bad as what some people are saying.
No,
but
it's not the worst.
But it's not great. And
I would like to see what this looked like originally.
Yep,
I don't think it would be a masterpiece, but I think it could
a very different
probably
movie.
Way better than this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
So,
yikes.
Yes, that's a good summation. Yikes. So,
did we leave anything out, Sharia? Did that sum it up for you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'll say this. I did like the favorite part of the movie for me was actually Matt Smith. I thought he was just hamming it up and having a good time. And, I give credit to the fact that he was doing the best he could with what he had. But, no, it's not the worst superhero movie I've ever seen or
anything. That's still Suicide Squad.
You know what? I think I kind of like Suicide Squad.
I think this is better than like Fantastic Four, though. Like which the,
yes.
the original. Like,
oh, the Josh Trank one.
No. Like the cheesy ones.
No.
Like, you don't think
I
so?
Would watch the first Fantastic Four movie over this?
I haven't seen that
week.
A long time.
This is better. Okay, like this is better than the Josh Trank one.
Okay, but like you know what I mean? There's worse movies. There's certainly better movies. I think my favorite part was when the detective shook a cat litter box to call the cat because
that's
usually
thing?
How they get their attention.
Right. Oh man, that was so dumb.
I shake don't, their litter box.
I know. I don't think that's what he was doing, for real. Like I that's what I thought at first
okay.
too. I think. He was surmising that they had.
Oh, he hadn't used it in a while.
That they
oh,
had
geez.
Left,
okay.
and she took the cats
wow.
with her, and it was like there's no poop in this box.
Dang.
Oh,
and so they've been okay. gone for a while.
That's
right. That's See, what I think he was doing.
Okay. I mean, that seems like some decent detective work,
but,
which I did not consider.
Because my first thought was he was doing the same thing, and I was like, what
wait,
the?
But I thought he says "here, kitty, kitty" when he's doing it, which is why I thought he was calling him. I swear he.
But I think there's a line after that where he's like, "She's gone." And the cats are yeah. with her, and like I think he was like, okay. "Oh, there's no poop in this."
Well, he
I
shouldn't
think,
have said "here, kitty, kitty."
No,
and shook the-
I had the same initial reaction. So,
because I like your version and yeah. reasoning, but it's like those two things don't go. Okay,
yeah,
yes.
But, yeah.
Well, the litter box is a good, I think,
that
final
is a spot. Yep,
yes.
metaphor.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
Where this movie belongs.
Yeah,
yes. So, I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts BUTTS21. Also, just stay tuned. Matt Basler and I are going to knock out the rest of these Texas Chainsaw Massacre ones. We've got the remake and the prequel to the remake because that's a thing. Is done, and I'm figuring some stuff out for that one, and then but the other ones are coming, so they're on the way.
All right. This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett, and I was also recently a guest on Shat the Movies, where we talked about The Last of the Mohicans.
Awesome. And where can they find you?
They can find me on YouTube and under my name, and you can also find me on Twitter under the same name. So pretty easy.
There you go. Good, solid branding.
I like yeah. it.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. That's bad branding. you can also find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So I guess, is next week the next Harry Potter thing?
So no, it's it's either Sonic or Ambulance.
Okay, gotcha. And then it's the Harry Potter thing.
Yes.
So we'll figure that out. I vote for Ambulance. But
I do too.
Next week, Harry Potter for me, though. So
yeah. There you go.
Don't rub it in.
Well, it depends on how excited you are for the movie. I don't
that's
know if
true.
That's really
yeah,
rubbing
right,
in.
Right.
But anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, a vampire plague sweeps through London. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.